Let us pray. God, as we seek to do your will, open our ears to hear your word. Open our minds so that we can understand. And open up our hearts to receive your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as summer is in full swing, I bet a fair share of us have attended or will attend a wedding. I really enjoy weddings. Part of the joy of being a minister is participating and joining two people's lives together in the premarital process. However, as a minister, you see and experience a side of weddings that many do not see. Since most people aren't pastors, I'll let you in to a little secret about weddings. You ready? Weddings are walking and talking disasters waiting to happen. Not because people are trying to make something go wrong, but people are human. Something will go wrong. I try to tell couples about this all the time. Between the hundreds of details and conflicting personalities and the pressure of standing in front of dozens of, maybe perhaps hundreds of family and friends, that you'll stick it out through thick and thin, for rich or poor, putting up with Uncle Vinny's off-putting jokes, best men running late, and bridezillas. Weddings are walking and talking disasters waiting to happen. Something will go wrong. Many years ago, my good friend Jody was married to his wife on one hot, summery day in a little Episcopal church in Maryland. As his bride, Lori, walked down the aisle, Jody was nervous. As the minister began the ceremony, Jody started to sweat profusely. And pretty soon, he started feeling woozy. And after the minister began the service, and as he continued, the most unexpected thing happened. Jody passed out. Bam! Right on his face, right on the chancel, right in front of all his family and friends, he passed out. And immediately, people started running to get to the closest phone, because this is before cell phones. And so, an ambulance was called, and the wedding was stopped, and people came to Jody's aid on the chancel. And as everyone was kind of panicking, the bride, Lori, just stood there and rolled her eyes. Her wedding day was being ruined. Some 20 minutes later, Jody was okay. He was a little dehydrated and he was just nervous. So the minister continued the ceremony, went through part of the vows, and about 5 minutes later, bam! Jody passed out again, right in the chancel. And then Lori, the bride, she just threw her hands up in the air, and the ceremony stopped again. And the paramedics came again. And Jody was attended to, and they asked him if he needed to go to the hospital. And his wife, or soon-to-be wife, Lori, was adamant that this wedding was happening, and nothing would stop it. So about 20 minutes later, the ceremony began, and about another 5 minutes later, Jody passed out for a third time. So it was figured out that Jody would be spending the rest of the ceremony on the chancel in a chair. And what was supposed to be a 30-minute wedding turned into a 180-minute wedding between all the passing out and the paramedics and the vows and the rings. And the guests were noticeably frustrated, but they stuck it out, and so did the bride. The groom, well, he was exhausted from passing out three times. And at the ceremony, everyone was just frazzled. And for the bride and groom, truthfully, it was a source of embarrassment. As I said, weddings are walking, talking disasters waiting to happen. Something will go wrong. Just as it is in 2016, some 2,000 years ago, something went wrong at a wedding in Cana. Someone, the bride or the groom or the father or one of the mothers or the wedding planner, didn't get the memo about the guest list. Too many people showed up. Maybe they underestimated. And one of the worst things that could happen at a wedding happened at this wedding. The wine was all gone. Now, they didn't have a store to run out to and go get it. Probably the vineyard was a long way off and it wasn't prepared. How could this happen? In the ancient world, weddings in the time of Jesus, they weren't just a one-day event. They were a multi-day event. And it wasn't just a four-hour reception. It was a celebration that went on for days, 4, 5, maybe even 6 days. Now, dads, if you think it's expensive to have a wedding just for a few hours on a Saturday, think about the cost of 5 or 6 days. You can see maybe why the wine ran out. Well, this was a disaster. This was the worst thing that could happen at a wedding, aside from the groom passing out 3 times. But for the wine to go out would have been a major source of embarrassment for the family. It would have been a major source of embarrassment for the bride, for the groom, for the mother, for the father, brothers, and uncles. Perhaps maybe that's why Mary, the mother of Jesus, goes to her son, the Christ, and wants him to do something about it in verse 3. Maybe Mary remembered how she was a source of embarrassment for her family for being pregnant before being married. As a woman, Mary was once in a position of personal disaster and embarrassment, and perhaps she didn't want this young woman, the bride, to be the source of ridicule that maybe she herself, she knew the pain and the embarrassment. As Jesus decides to intervene in this wedding disaster, he instructs large water containers, perhaps as much as 20 or 30 gallons, to be filled. What's interesting here is that Jesus, he probably could have just made the wine appear out of nowhere, but no, he decides to use something, an element of life already present, though maybe bland, devoid of life. In these water pots filled to the brim is where Jesus does something that no one else has ever done. He made water into wine. Not only that, it wasn't just that he made water into wine, but it was the best wine. It was a quality that had not been seen in the previous hours or days. In verse 9, the master of the banquet remarks how the couple saved the best for last, the good stuff. Instantly, Jesus saved the couple and the family from public embarrassment. And everyone at the party had no clue what had just happened. They had no idea where the good stuff came from, except for the few servants who carried out the commands of Jesus. They had secretly seen what had been done. They had not only recognized the good stuff, but they saw it happening. Sometimes in life, like the rest of the wedding guests in our story, we have a habit of not recognizing where the good stuff comes from. We do not recognize that we owe thanks to the one who gave it. We don't recognize just how much God has done. Much like how Jesus turned water into wine, we do not see God turning in what we have into the good stuff. God fills us to the brim with abilities and resources and talents and gifts. And what do we do with it? How do we share it? In the wedding in Cana, the good stuff was shared with all. However, for some of us, we don't see the good stuff. We don't see in our lives the proverbial water into wine. We watch on TV and see the shootings and violence in Dallas and think, there is no good stuff left in the world. With so many bad things that we are desensitized in the media, we wonder, where is the good? Where is God? Where's the good stuff in that? Much like weddings, life in general is just a moment away from being a walking, talking disaster. After watching his son die of an obscure and rare disease, Rabbi Harold Kushner contemplated, where is the goodness in God if his young son had to die? He wrote a book called Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. And in it, he addresses where the source of good can come from. He wrote, the conventional explanation that God sends us the burden because he knows we are strong enough to handle it is all wrong. Fate, not God, sends us the problem. When we try to deal with it, we find out we are not strong. We are weak. We are tired. We get angry, overwhelmed. We begin to wonder how we will ever make it through all the years. And Kushner puts the emphasis here. But when we reach the limits of our own strength and courage, something unexpected happens. We find reinforcement coming from a source outside of ourselves. And in the knowledge that we are not alone, that God is on our side, and we can go on. Rabbi Kushner learned that we cannot do life alone. He learned that that outside source is God, that God is not working against us. He is for us. God still provides the good stuff in life, even in adversity. The wedding at Cana teaches us that God's abundance is not only found in the celebrations in life, but also in tragedy. In the moment of a wedding disaster, God does something good and redemptive. As I said before, we are just a few moments away from our lives becoming a walking, talking disaster. But the ability to recognize the good stuff in life is not easy, but as Jesus teaches us, it is our abundance we must see. Recognizing who is the source of our job, our family, our friends, our house, our retirement, our bank account, possessions, everything you have in life is from above. And you may say, well, I worked really hard for those things. Well, God is the source of your intellect, your gifts, your talents, and everything you have in life. And just as those jars were filled to the brim in the story, God fills us to the brim with abundance. God comes and he turns what we have and makes it into the good stuff in life. Everyone in the party went on celebrating without even knowing Jesus, what he did, except for the servants. But regardless, Jesus shared his first miracle, a gift, and he shared out of his ability. But the question remains, what will you share of yourself to others, to the church, to God? Remember my friend Jody, who passed out 3 times at his wedding, and his wife Lori? Well, fast forward a week. Jody and Lori are enjoying their honeymoon in the Caribbean on a catamaran with other hotel guests on an excursion. And as Jody and Lori are taking relief from the wedding ceremony from hell, they begin talking with the other guests on the catamaran. They start talking to another couple. And that couple discovers that Jody and Lori, they're there on their honeymoon. And the husband of the couple says, oh, you were just married? You're on your honeymoon? And the man starts to laugh. And Jody and Lori start to wonder, why is he laughing? Well, the man starts to say, well, you wouldn't believe the parent. My parents just went to this crazy wedding in Maryland where the groom passed out three times. I've never heard of such a thing. That guy has got to be the worst groom in the history of weddings. This is a true story, honest to God. Jody looks at the man and he says, yeah, I know. That was me. In the middle of disaster and embarrassment, Jody and Lori were wondering how fast they could get through that ceremony. And on the catamaran, they relived it. Today, if they were to tell you their story of that event and their part in their life, they would tell you that they've went through a whole lot of things, even worse than that. But through it all, God was there, and His abundance was there. His abundant filled to the brim love was there in every disaster of their life every day. And they didn't let that one disasterful wedding ceremony define the rest of their life. Friends, Jesus never promised you an easy life, because we are just one moment away from being a walking, talking disaster. However, Jesus did promise us one thing. He said, I have come that you might have life abundant, full. Next time you face challenge or grief or disaster or death or grief or frustration or blame with God, will you see the good things in your life that God has given you? Because God has the ability to take something bland or awful or tragic and turn it into something new. Isn't that what God did on the cross? Take something so awful and painful and grotesque and turn it into something redemptive, full of life for all? If God can do that, He can do it with anything. Any tragedy in your life, any tragedy in the life of our nation. But it takes you and I, and are filled to the brim abundance of gifts, to make it happen. Let us pray. Lord, bless us in the challenge of perception and the challenge of action, Lord. That in a week of tragedy, in the face of personal or national tragedy, Lord, help us to see the good stuff in life. Help us to see that we've been filled to the brim with abundant talent and love and gifts. And help us to share that, to share it with our family, our friends, to share our resources and talents and financial abilities with the church, with others. Help us to be generous with the abundance you have given us. And Lord, when we face disaster, when we face adversity, help us to see that even in the darkest hour, you can transform it into light and to make it good and to redeem it. Lord, walk with us through thick and thin. Walk with us as we, your people, try to find goodness in this broken world. Through us, Lord, help us redeem it. Bless us and keep us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.